Just going to read a few verses from Psalm number 1. The first Psalm, verse number 1. Psalm 1 and verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We'll just end at verse number 3 of the reading of this blessed and well-known psalm. Two names, I'm sure, that are unknown to you this morning: John Stith Pemberton and Asa Griggs Candler. I'm sure that for most of you those names mean absolutely nothing. But if I mention Coca-Cola, I'm sure everybody this morning knows Coca-Cola. Perhaps the world's best-known brand is Coca-Cola. It's one of the world's most successful companies. Figures differ on the internet that I looked at, but it seems that the Coca-Cola company is worth and has assets together somewhere in the region of $200 billion. Apart from water, Coca-Cola is the most famous beverage of all time. It has to be said that it's not very good for you. About 10% of it or more is refined sugar. And so if you drink this bottle here and all the contents of it, 1.75 litres. Do you ever notice that all these bottles are getting smaller? Used to be 2 litres, now it's 1.75. Same as Fleur at Christmas. Used to be 2 litres, now it's 1.5. Quality Street roses, they all get smaller year by year, but the price doesn't go down accordingly. But anyway, if you drink 1.5 or 1.75 litres of Coke, that's well above 2 times your maximum sugar intake for one day. And it's very addictive as well. There's caffeine in it, of course, but it's also quite good if you've got a bad stomach. A little bit of flat Coke, we're told, goes a long way. And one of the reasons I believe for that is because John Stith Pemberton, who was a medicinal chemist and a pharmacist and the inventor of Coca-Cola, who came from Atlanta in America, he was given the title by some the most noted physician that Atlanta ever had. He invented Coca-Cola, although it wasn't called it at that particular time, as a tonic to assist digestion. It was made from wine, alcoholic wine, the cocoa plant, and the cola nut. John Stith Pemberton, the inventor of Coca-Cola, he was injured in the Civil War in America. He was a Confederate veteran. He was injured, and recovering from his injury, he became addicted to morphine. And then, because of the expense involved with buying morphine, he began to experiment with the cocoa bean, the cocoa plant, or the coca plant. And then he came up with this beverage, Coca-Cola. And then during the Prohibition era, whenever alcohol was banned, the wine in Coca-Cola was replaced with sugar. And so it became the ideal temperance drink in America. But by this stage, this man had become addicted to morphine. So a friend of his, Asa Griggs Candler, who was a Christian, now offered to buy the recipe and the secret recipe for Coca-Cola off Pemberton for just $550. Pemberton needed the money, and so Candler, who was a drugstore clerk and a medicinal chemist as well, and a Christian, brought over the Coca-Cola company and gave it the title or the name Coca-Cola. He was a marketing genius. He began to market the product, and he put God first in his business and became very, very wealthy. And what his predecessor was unable to do, Asa Griggs Candler did, and made a success out of Coca-Cola. He put God first in his business. He became very wealthy, and he viewed all of his personal wealth and assets as, in his own words, a divine trust to be used of God for the benefit of humanity. Like so many other men we've considered in the weeks that have gone by, he used his financial gain to support and to undertake for those in need and to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Over his lifetime as a Methodist, he gave literally millions of dollars to the work of the gospel. Fortunes were given to establish individual Methodist churches across the Atlanta area. He gave over $1 million to a Methodist university and also donated millions to establish a hospital that at that time was run under the auspices of the Methodist Church, Wesley Memorial Hospital. He believed as well in educating people through the gospel, bringing the gospel to schools, universities and homes. He said that education without a strong Christian influence would lead to a population of an educated elite with no moral foundation. I think that's where our world is in the West today. An educated elite that because the gospel has been taken out, generally speaking, of our universities and our high schools, we have an educated elite, but sadly, no moral foundation. And so under Asa Gregg's candor, Coca-Cola went on to become a world-known brand. And its branding, the red packaging, the black liquid with the white letters, is known the world over. Sad to relate, Coca-Cola has reached places in our world that the gospel has not yet reached. And people in the pursuit of wealth have brought Coca-Cola to foreign nations and lands where it's been accepted. And yet the gospel that the founder of the Coca-Cola empire loved still has not reached the world at large in which we live. So next time you drink a little bit of Coca-Cola, not too much, brush your teeth afterwards, and don't go over your quota, but remember that the founder of the company was a man of God who put God first in his life and in his business. And like the man of Psalm number 1, brought forth his fruit in the season, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We trust God will bless this to your heart. I think that's all of our foods for a little while. I'm going to make up a hamper and think of some way to maybe give it out. We'll do some type of competition and then we'll move on to some other business tycoons that were used mightily for the Lord.